Hello and welcome to The Cloister. This is the seventh part in our series on the Rule of St Benedict, led by the monks of Glenstall Abbey. In today's episode, Abbot Brendan considers the subject of food and drink. I hope these gentle reflections continue to be a blessing to you.
Everyone has their proper gift from God. One after this manner and another after that. It is therefore with some misgiving that we determine how much others should eat or drink. This is the rather apologetic way Benedict approaches the subject of food and drink in his rule. He realizes, here as elsewhere, that people are different and we all have different needs. This is particularly so when it comes to food and drink. The sick have very different dietary requirements from the healthy, the young from the old, those working in the fields from those working behind a desk, and so on. There is no way one size can fit all, and Benedict doesn't make hard and fast rules here. But he does establish principles. And this is where what he has to say can be of enormous benefit to us today, whatever your situation in life. What are these principles? Having enough to eat and drink is a basic human right. However, we shouldn't overeat or drink to excess. Benedict tells us that there is nothing so unfitting for a Christian. Linked to this principle is the desire to avoid wasting food. We shouldn't grumble about our food and drink, but rather be grateful for what we have received. Circumstances need to be taken into account, as we already mentioned. We should provide a choice, but not pander to excessive finickiness. These represent some of the underlying principles in Benedict's philosophy around food and drink, and it seems to me that they have a lot to say to us in our world today. How much waste of food we have, particularly in the developed world. It really doesn't seem to bother us when we throw out large quantities of food. It doesn't bother us when we get so much on our plate sometimes that we could feed a small army on what I'm about to eat. It doesn't really bother us that there are people going hungry. We're told that there is more than enough food in the world to feed the global population, and yet 811 million people still go hungry. After steadily declining for a decade, world hunger is on the rise again, affecting nearly 10% of people globally. From 2019 to 2022, the number of undernourished people grew by as many as 150 million, a crisis driven largely by conflict, climate change, and the COVID-19 pandemic. We are growing selfish again. We're hoarding, and we're creating huge amounts of waste. Where is the application of St. Benedict's principles in all of this? The war in Ukraine is another case in point. Apart from the terrible loss of life, the suffering inflicted on the innocent, and the blatant injustice of it all, Russia and Ukraine combined supply over 50% of cereal imports in North Africa and the Middle East, while Eastern African countries import 72% of their cereals from Russia and 18% from Ukraine. the ongoing conflict will jeopardize all of this. Where are St. Benedict's principles here? In like manner, Benedict's attitude to drink, which is one of moderation, is very necessary today. So much domestic violence and abuse, so much suffering is caused by the overindulgence and addiction to alcohol. Benedict places food and drink in a ritual context. Meals in his monastery are formal and ritualized. They begin and end with a prayer. The community eats together at set times. They serve one another in their turn. They help clear away and do the wash-up together. Making of the meal, or food and drink, a spiritual and ritualized experience gives the correct context to our relationship with these essentials. It powerfully reminds us that food and drink are gifts of God. It reminds us that they do not belong to us, they are gifts. It reminds us that they are for sharing with others. It reminds us that we should not waste what God has given. Even the Israelites in the desert only collected enough manna for each day. There was no waste, and they were always dependent on God's providence for their needs. When we remove this community element from our meals, when we turn our food and drink into a source of personal satisfaction instead of a community event, everything starts to go wrong. So long as the focus remains on the community, my attitude to food and drink will remain open. I automatically associate food and drink with sharing, conviviality, making sure everyone has enough. There is much to learn from Benedict's approach to food and drink. Making the refectory into a sacred place changes everything. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received this food and drink.
Thank you for listening to The Cloister. New episodes are released fortnightly, and we hope that you will join us again soon. God bless.